Good morning, New York. Good afternoon, UK, and good evening if you're in India. Why do I always talk about India? Because I've been there a number of times. I've got lots of good friends in India, so I hope some of them are listening today. Welcome to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. We dare to talk about everything menopause, including some subjects where you might think, is that about menopause? It could be, and that's why we're talking about it. My guest today is Sharon Livermore. I'm going to be introducing her to you towards the end of this section, and you will find out all the amazing things about Sharon. But for the moment, we're going back to looking at what's in the media. Now, here in the UK, during the summer, we have what's called silly season. I don't know if it's called silly season in America. It's just when it's summer, a lot of journalists are on holiday, they don't know what to talk about, and so you just get crazy stuff in the media. So it does get a bit difficult looking at the media at this time of the year. But I have found some stories for you, and you know that I always love a good food story. I think that if you've got favourite food and you think, oh yeah, but I shouldn't really be eating that, I bet you could find some research that says it's good for you, whatever it is. And my example today is why curry consumption might be linked to better metabolic health in women over 50. Who knew? And this comes from Mind Body Green. And if you think Pat looks a bit different today, it's because I broke my glasses this week and I'm wearing these ones that make me a little bit like brains from Thunderbirds. And also it means I have to keep lifting my head up to read things. So do excuse me if you're watching on Facebook. So, why curry consumption might be linked to better metabolic health. Metabolic syndrome refers to a group of factors linked to an increased risk of heart disease and other serious health conditions, according to the NIH's National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Who knew? A recent study published in Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause Society, considered the influence of certain lifestyle factors on that risk, specifically during menopause, and they looked at women in Korea. Initial results of the study suggest that postmenopausal women have a higher risk of metabolic syndrome than premenopausal women, and the study used data from 7,131 pre and postmenopausal Korean women all over the age of 20. And they found that these women who ate a lot of curried rice, because that's a popular dish in Korea and contains a high concentration of curcumin, which is the active ingredient in, oh my God, I've forgotten now. I have to come back to that. Oh, turmeric. It's turmeric. That's right. And it's helpful in preventing and or treating metabolic syndrome because of its antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. So some of us drink turmeric tea. There's that golden milk drink that you can make with turmeric, which you know is very anti-inflammatory. So it's useful to see a piece of research that says this is good for us, and eating curries that have turmeric in them could be a good thing and help our metabolic rate. There you go. Curry's good for us. The next one is a real silly season one, okay? So strap yourself in. This is from The Guardian in the UK. Giraffe grandmothers are high-value family members, say scientists. Now, I talked about whales, killer whales, the other week, and how they are one of the only other mammals that actually have a menopause. Turns out giraffes and elephants stop being reproductive as they get later in life as well. And experts conducting a review of giraffe social behavior say female giraffes live for about 8 years after they are no longer reproductive. So it's about 30% of their lives that they spend as non-reproductive females. The trait used to be thought an oddity in nature, displayed only by humans and killer whales who are known to go through menopause, with the latter spending about 35% of their life in the post-reproductive state. However, other animals, including elephants, have also been found to have it. I know you're thinking, why is this important? And this is part of the theory of why humans go through menopause, which is about the fact that it can be very helpful for the survival of a tribe to have non-reproductive females in the tribe, because they help the younger females who are reproductive and help look after their offspring. So apparently giraffes do it too. It's not just us and whales anymore. We've got giraffes and elephants in there as well. Okay, a little bit more seriously now. Coming from PBC today, Amy and Mace have rolled out a menopausal support app for their staff, and they're a company who find careers for military personnel in the construction industry. So not a place where you would think there would be so many females, but I'm guessing they've got a lot of support staff and female military staff as well. They've launched a digital health platform, Peppy, to support women going through menopause and other major health journeys. By rolling out the Peppy app in their organization, Amy and Mace are showing that menopause is not just a women's issue, it's a workplace issue. Yes, spot on, it's a workplace issue. The Menopause Support Service connects users directly to specialist menopause experts via one-to-one chat, group chat, or video consultation, or through a library of free events, videos, and articles. So, really interesting that they've done that. Another one from The Guardian, and I can't tell you how many people sent me this article to say, Pat, look at this, because they all know that I work in this area of menopause in the workplace. So, from The Guardian, menopause at centre of increasing number of UK employment tribunals. This was reported all over the press this week. There's a rise in women taking employers to court, citing event as menopause as proof of unfair dismissal and discrimination. So, apart from all the positive reasons why employers would be supporting women, you also want to keep out of employment tribunal. Experts say the rising cases shows women are increasingly feeling empowered to challenge employers who do not understand the impact the menopause can have and offer them support. I can see that this will carry on building, said Dee Murray, the founder and chief executive of Menopause Experts, until such time as there are some really big group lawsuits, which I'm sure there will be. Hopefully, there won't be. Hopefully, employers will get a grip and help women out. The women in a lot of the big companies are already setting up their own private internal menopause support groups. If they decide their issues are not supported by HR, you could potentially have a real problem. So I hope with the work that we're doing, those of us working in this field, employers will avoid this. They'll see that there's an employment workplace issue and they'll do something about it. Okay, my next one I thought was quite funny. Not really funny. From Parade, 12 weird, annoying, and scary things that can happen when you go through menopause and what to do about them. I was attracted by the headline and thought perhaps I'm going to learn something. Not really. Allergies. So if you've been subject to allergies might get worse. That might be, well, it will be because of the changes in your hormones and the effect that that has on so many systems in your body. Estrogen is such a powerful hormone. Joint pain. Yeah, a lot of women talk to me about their joint pain when they're on my courses or if they're looking for help. And that can be down to a shortage of magnesium. So taking some magnesium can be really helpful. Brittle nails. Yes, that can be an issue again because of the effect of estrogen, because it's such a powerful growth hormone. Changes in taste or a dry mouth. That one was a bit new to me, but you know, the skin can get very dry with lack of estrogen, so this is probably related to that, and you might get changes in the way you experience tastes. Itching, again, can be an issue because of the dryness of skin when it doesn't have so much estrogen. Vaginal dryness, a big subject which we will come back to at a later date. Do you know, I've had about four speakers who talk about sexual health refer to me to talk on the show. I don't know why I've suddenly got four of them. Obviously, it's something that we need to talk about. Increased urinary infections, and yet that can be associated with the dryness in the vagina and the thinness of the vaginal wall, that can lead to more infections. Increased migraines. If you've been susceptible to migraine, you might get more of them when you're going through menopause. If your migraines were associated to your menstrual cycle, then again, much more likely to happen when you're going through menopause. This isn't painting a very happy picture, is it? But it's good to know this so you can go, oh, if that happens to me, I know that it might be my menopause. Increased risk of cardiovascular disease. That's because estrogen plays such a huge part in protecting your heart's health. So there are lots of things to do, actions to take to keep your heart healthy once you get to perimenopause, the years leading up to when your periods stop. Increased risk of osteoporosis. That's to do with your bones getting more porous. Yep, that's another effect of lower amounts of estrogen. Some of that is to do with then taking exercise and eating the right things to keep your bones healthy. You'll be pleased to know that my guest next week, Maggie Fordham, is going to be talking about nutrition and exercise. So we're not leaving you out on a limb there. Increased risk of pelvic floor weakness. You have to do your Kegel exercises. You know those exercises where you have to pull your pelvic floor up and hold it. Important to do those for your pelvic floor health. So all of these things, there's stuff you can do about it. It doesn't have to be scary. It's just what happens in our body because estrogen is such a powerful hormone in our system, even though it's not described as one of the major hormones, it does major hormone work. So we have to be aware of it. Whoa, after all that, I'm going to take a slightly more light-hearted introduction to Sharon to say that even though we're going to be talking about a heavy subject today, Sharon is one of the smiliest people I've met. I met her back in January 2020, just before we went into lockdown, and she always has this massive smile on her face. And Sharon, going back to that food thing, I know that you give away a lot of cupcakes.
Absolutely. You are correct. Yes, we do. We give out cupcakes to all of our candidates that, or we try to, that we place in jobs. So yeah, cake makes people smile, which is probably why I smile a lot of the time too.
How did that start? How did the whole cupcake thing start?
To be honest, it was born from the start of when I set up Cameo Recruitment. I wanted to give something a bit different to the candidates that I place. So I have an amazing lady, a local lady to me, who makes cupcakes, but she personalizes the top of them, which is, it just makes it a little bit more friendly and personal for each of the candidates. And yeah, some people call me the cupcake recruiter. It kind of follows us around now. So me and the team, wherever we go, people say, have you got cakes? So yeah, maybe we should branch into a bakery at some point as well. But they're definitely very well received.
Cameo cupcakes,
Exactly. There is, yeah, there is an opportunity there, definitely.
it flows, doesn't it? Well, I was thinking about it today before we came on the show, and I thought, yeah, I bet you see a lot of smiles because everybody smiles when they see a cupcake.
Absolutely. No, definitely. It definitely does the job, that's for sure.
So we're going to the break in a moment. When we come back, we'll be talking to Sharon. Now, this is a deep subject. It's domestic violence. And you might be thinking, what's that got to do with menopause? It has to do with every stage of life, but it's important that we talk about it. Just like menopause, we have to break the taboo in order for people to get the help that they need. So I'll be talking to Sharon about her own very personal experience of this and what she does now to help other people, apart from taking cupcakes round to the women's refuge, which I know she does. So join us after the break and hear more about Sharon. Take care.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. And we really want to empower women leaders to talk about this subject today. So my guest is Sharon Livermore, and she is a domestic abuse survivor, activist, campaigner, as well as being the director of Cameo Recruitment in Cambridge. She set up Cameo in 2018 to not only recruit, but to use as a platform to raise awareness of domestic abuse. And along with her team, she actively encourages businesses across the UK to clue up on the subject. Now, you might be thinking, why is this a subject for employment? You will find out. Stay tuned, because this is important stuff. They educate businesses on the many forms abuse can take, the myths, and how to identify a victim in the workplace. Sharon is an ambassador for the Employers Initiative on Domestic Abuse and a campaigner for Domestic Abuse Alliance, where she's working to create a positive impact and end the perception and associated stigma that comes from the belief that what happens in someone's home isn't our business. Domestic abuse is everyone's business. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Good afternoon, Pat. Thank you very much for having me today.
Now, I mean, domestic abuse has been going on for hundreds, probably thousands of years. Last year, it really came into the headlines because of the increased incidences because of people being locked down and what was going on in homes at that time. Also, with major sporting events like the Euro 2020, if a person's team doesn't win, there will be a lot of domestic abuse cases that night, which is a horrible thing. It stops me from enjoying sporting events because I think, how many women are going to suffer today because of this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the biggest thing. I think that's the thing. These sporting events, they are fantastic. They get people together. But the outcome of it, the aftermath of it, if they lose, you're absolutely right. It's terrifying for people that are living in this situation. So it has brought COVID and large sporting events this year have definitely brought domestic abuse to the forefront of it. But it's become a pandemic within the pandemic, unfortunately, with COVID especially. And there's a lot of people that are trapped in their homes and they have no reason to be able to get out to go to work and do the things that they were doing before as a safe space for them, really.
Yeah. So going back to your story, is it okay for you to talk about your story?
Absolutely. So my story, I came extremely close to becoming a statistic of domestic abuse myself. It was around 5 years ago now. I was in the position that I'm in now, working in recruitment. So those of you that don't know what recruitment is, it's a very customer facing, dealing with candidates, liaising with people all day, every day. So you have to have a smile on your face, shall we say. My smile now is a genuine one, but at the time I became an extremely good actress in being able to cover up potentially what was going on behind the scenes. I met my perpetrator while I was at work on a training course. And I do a lot of obviously educating to businesses, as Pat's said previously. One of the quotes that I read when I am doing that is about what it feels like to be a victim, which I think is something that everyone should try and understand. And it talks about being in a box. So you start off when you meet someone feeling like a princess, you're being treated, you're being spoiled. You then get put in the box, and over time the box closes and you change the way you are to conform with that box. So you change how you are perceived by others, how you dress, how you speak, and eventually you're trapped in the box and there is no way out of this box. And that's when you realize that actually this is a situation that you don't potentially want to be in. And that was exactly how I was. It just became to a point where over time I experienced physical abuse and emotional abuse. But if I'm honest, my personal experience, the emotional abuse was much harder to live with because it gave me anxiety. It gave me stress all of the time. I was constantly worrying about what time I was going to get home from work, or is he going to turn up at one of my networking events and things like that. So, yeah, it's not a nice situation to live through. And this is why I do what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, so we've had a question from Stephanie who says, when we think of domestic violence, we always think about the physical aspect of it.
Absolutely.
And will Sharon also address the aspect of gaslighting and psychological violence? And I think you've just touched on that, that often this starts psychologically and emotionally rather than starting physically.
Yeah, and there's so many different aspects to abuse. And this, again, is what I educate businesses on. And absolutely right, people do think of domestic abuse as being the violent side, so the physical side, but there is economic abuse. So we talk about financial abuse. That can be where someone's wages or salary is paid into someone else's account and they're holding the purse string, shall we say. That's not okay if it's not agreed with. Stopping someone from working altogether and controlling them by financially not giving them the independence to do the things they want to. The other thing you've got is, you know, putting people down. Your confidence gradually disappears. If someone tells you enough times that you look ugly, you look fat, you're not good in yourself, then people do unfortunately start to believe that. Gaslighting, absolutely, when the perpetrator will try and make the victim feel like it didn't happen, or say, what are you talking about? I didn't do that. Or try and sort of downplay what they've done. Other things as well, which do happen, unfortunately, is when a perpetrator will do something to a victim. And then afterwards, they will then try and get the sympathy by trying to say they're going to go off and do something to themselves, so that then the victim has to kind of feel sorry for them. So there's so much manipulation that goes on within relationships that are in this, you know, the domestic abuse field. And unfortunately, there's a lot of aspects that, unless you're educated on, it's almost too late before you realise that that's happening to you, which is where education is so important.
Yeah, because a lot of it, because the person, the victim of the abuse, doesn't feel they can talk about it to other people, and the perpetrator gradually separates them from people they could talk to. Is that something you experience, being separated from friends and family?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is important to say that not everyone that's separated from friends and family is a victim of abuse. Some people do meet the love of their life and decide that they want to spend every minute of every day with them. And that's absolutely fine. But for me, it was over time. No, we're not going to see your family. More so with my closest friends. So my perpetrator knew that my support was one of my, well, my best friend. So at the time, I stopped seeing her so much. We never went out. She always came to the house because then he could listen in on what we were talking about. And then I think as things got worse, he realised that she would have been my support. So he actually blocked her phone number in my phone. And with a busy life, I kind of just thought, well, hang on, she must be busy. I'm busy. And then time rolls on. And she actually called me at work one day and said, can you do me a favour? Can you just check your mobile? And I said, why? And she said, I'm not good with technology, Pat. I'm really not. So I had no idea where to look. And she sort of talked me through it. And I went, well, yeah, your number's in this bit. And she said, yeah, it's been blocked. And that's when I think it really hit home that actually this wasn't just a bit of control. This was really trying to segregate me from people. And it is scary because when you're at that point, who do you turn to? Fortunately for me, my friend did reach out and I was able to then have her support. So she knew that I was preparing myself to obviously leave the relationship. But again, that's something we need to be speaking about, because when you leave a relationship is when you're most in danger. And I did not realise this at the time. And that's when I put my life in danger, shall we say.
Yeah. Do you remember, you're probably too young to listen to The Archers.
I haven't listened to The Archers, no.
So The Archers is a radio soap opera. For those of you who've never heard it, it's subtitled is An Everyday Story of Country Folk. It started out during the Second World War as a way of informing farmers about agricultural issues. But since then, it's just a soap opera now. They had like a 2-year story that they gradually built up, where one of the characters was gradually being coerced by her partner. And wow. As listeners, if you knew anything about the subject, you knew what was happening. If you didn't know anything about it, it was a real education. And they just kept that story bubbling in the background until the point where she was really separated from her family. None of her friends, nobody knew what was going on. And there was quite a nasty end to the story, but it was very powerful and it brought home to people how this can be a slow build up and what happens when you try and leave it.
Absolutely. And I think that is the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It's one of these situations where you, like I say, you don't potentially know you're in the situation. And unless you've had the education, it's really hard to see. And I've had people, men and women, that have come to my seminars that have listened and then gone away, and then a few months later popped me an email and said, thank you so much, I didn't realize that I was in a relationship that was going that way and I've been able to get out of it. So I truly believe that education is the key to this. It's educating people so they have more knowledge and understanding to make those decisions to get away from a relationship before you're really in depth involved with it, shall we say.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking about this today. If from today we give one person the chance to change their life, or if we save a life, it makes this show really important, you know, because we have to keep talking about it. I know that Sharon talks in lots of different venues about this, because getting that message out there, who knows how many lives she's already saved. So this is really important that we're able to talk about it. And you've now bringing it to employers so that employers become more aware. Do you think it's so that they recognise it, or so that if somebody comes to see them, they know what to do?
I think both. I know we are going to talk about this in a bit more detail with the employer side, but I definitely think employers need to understand they have a duty of care to their employees. So by being educated and understanding what it is and what they can do to support their employees, they will get the best out of their employees anyway. They will retain their workforce. They will also attract new work members of the workforce to them if they've got a good wellbeing program. And I know that from working in recruitment. So people are looking for these things 100%. It's really important that employers listen and start making those steps to stopping domestic abuse alongside everyone else that should be.
Yeah, fantastic. So after the break, we're going to be talking more about what employers could be spotting and what action they can take, how they can support their staff, and maybe even some tips for women who are in this situation about how to safely get out of it. Join us after the break when Sharon will be sharing more about what she tells to employers. See you then.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Hot Women Rock Radio, empowering women leaders at menopause, where today we're talking about domestic abuse and how employers can notice the signs, or if an employee comes to them for help, what they can do to support them. So Sharon, tell us a bit more about what you do to educate employers.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a normal situation, I would spend 45 minutes doing a really in-depth presentation. There is so much to learn. And what I do want to say is what I say on here is kind of a whistle-stop tour, shall we say. Mm-hmm. The key thing that I get asked about from employers is, well, what signs do we look for? And that can be really hard because people are clever at hiding what they're going through. We know that. We can always adapt ourselves. So I think the signs that you look for is the differences in someone's behaviour. And that doesn't always need to be the manager of that department that's going to notice it. It will potentially be the colleagues that sit alongside somebody. So in my situation, my then husband used to, if he would call me at work, for example, I'm very chatty. I love speaking on the phone normally. So I can spend ages on the phone and I talk back, obviously. But if he was calling me, he would be giving me abuse down the phone and I'd be holding the phone to my ear as tight as I could, and hoping no one could hear, and all I'd be saying is yes, 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 like that, because I couldn't say anything back. So if someone was listening to that, they'd have been thinking, hang on, what is going on here? But nobody ever asked me. Other signs for me, again, I had to be home on time. So if I was 5 minutes late at home, it was horrendous. So at 25 past five, when the phone rang and I had to leave at 5:30, I would speak at 100 mile an hour. I'd try and get that person off the phone. If I'm honest, I probably sounded rude to some people because I was so scared that I didn't want to talk to them. And again, that was something the way that I spoke to people changed at that time of day. So I think those kind of changes, absolutely. The other things as well, I would say, Pat, is if you know your colleagues, you know what they do at weekends, you speak to them, don't you? We all like a chat on a Monday morning with a cup of coffee. What's everyone been up to?
And
that's very true. And a cupcake. And if somebody used to spend a lot of time with their family or going to see their sister for Sunday lunch, that was part of their routine, they then meet somebody else and then they don't ever speak about their family again. Okay, as I said before, it may be because they've met the person of their dreams, but that doesn't mean you step away from your family altogether. So again, that could be raising those alarm bells. So they're like three tiny things that could potentially happen. Other things, changes someone's behaviour. So are they more depressed? Are they anxious? Have they all of a sudden stopped looking after themselves? You know, they used to make themselves look nice. They've just lost that, the drive to want to continue doing that. But there is so many different aspects to really, really consider. As well, I suppose the things to look for that don't necessarily come from the victim, but the perpetrator, is the perpetrator turning up at work? my then husband used to turn up at networking events. He did had no business to be there, but he would turn up in the corner and make it look like he was walking around and looking at people and stands. I knew he was there watching what I was doing. So as soon as a man came towards me to talk to me, I would turn my back and pretend I was doing something else. Now, why did my colleagues not say, hang on a minute, why is he here? But they weren't educated on abuse.
So if an employer starts to notice some of these things, what's their next step?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing that I campaign for, Pat, is that every business has a domestic abuse policy. In that policy, it has all of this information so that everybody in the business knows what to do. Now, nobody, unfortunately, you can't just save somebody. So what we're not asking people to save that person and step in and resolve the situation. What we're asking businesses to do is to have a policy that then signposts these victims to the relevant people that have got the knowledge and the expertise to support them with the situation they're in. So obviously, if someone's trying to leave a situation and we know they're in a lot of danger, then get the police into the workplace and allow them to have that conversation in a safe space without a perpetrator there to find out what they need to do. Also, Women's Aid, I know they, I don't know, obviously, in America, if they have the same kind of things, I'm sure they do, but called something different potentially. But in the UK, we have Women's Aid, we have Men's Aid, we have Refuge, we have the different charities that specialise in different areas. So LGBT community, the BAME community, all of the different, shall we say, cultures and things have these support groups. And that's what we need to do, is be offering safe spaces for people to get the support.
Because sometimes being at work can be the safest place for a woman, can't it? You know, she's like out of her...
Yeah, and men. I mean, I know we do look at women in this, but it happens to men too. So the workplace is a safe space, and it was my safe space. So I was able to try and be myself when I was in the workplace. And I knew, as much as the phone calls were coming in, the emails were coming in, he could potentially turn up, the majority of the time I was safe. And I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing you have a safe space. The other thing that I think is really important is if someone does come and says, look, I'm going through this, I need help. Automatically, when someone's going through something, we say, take time off, go and have some time to yourself. That potentially is great. But for me, when I went through what I did, the evening or the morning after it happened, fortunately, his plan didn't work. I'm lucky I'm still here today with my voice campaigning. But I had a police car outside the office protecting me because they hadn't found him. But I refused not to go to work because that was my routine. And at the time, my whole life had just been swept from underneath me. And that was all I knew that was still part of the normal side. So I think it's important that employers know that they shouldn't say, you need to do this or you need to do that. But they give victims the option of whether they want to stay at work or have some time off, etc.
Is there a way that managers can prepare for this conversation? I mean, it's such a sensitive conversation. It might happen that the person, man or woman, comes in and says, this is what I'm experiencing. Or it might be that the manager has noticed something. How do they prepare for that conversation?
It's really tough. I think it's the same as any kind of awkward conversation, shall we say. 10 years ago, people didn't speak about mental health and they were awkward conversations. Now it's more acceptable to say to somebody, I've noticed you're a bit depressed, are you okay? And people don't take offence. So we need to get to that point, but we're not there yet. So for managers, it's about creating a safe space. Obviously, if you've got a team of people, don't do it in front of everybody and say, oh, Paul or Sarah, I noticed you're not good. What's going on? Because you're not going to get the response you need. You need to create a safe space where someone can come and sit. Don't get in their personal space as well. Try not to control the situation, but ask if they're okay. Speak to them and say, you know, if there is something, I'm here for you. And if someone does open up and tell you, acknowledge the fact that they're brave and that they've, you know, we will do our best to help you. We'll go at the speed that you want to, but we're going to ensure that we get the relevant support for you. So it's not an easy conversation. And if I'm honest, people probably aren't going to open up straight away. They're not going to turn around that first time and say, this is what's happening. I didn't. I got to a point where I was broken and I had couldn't see any other way out. And I was at work, actually, when I turned around and said, I'm done. I'm literally done with this. And that's when my employer did some really good things by helping me, and I was able to go to the police and get the support I needed at that point. But also to remember, it does go on. It doesn't just finish when that perpetrator is arrested or even, you know, anything happens. And this is where my then employer didn't have the tools to understand the education, because I then 5 months later had to take holiday to go to Crown Court for a week. That should, if people have policies in place, be compassionate leave. So it's all of these things that we're trying to really get businesses to think about.
Yeah. So your employer was pretty good at helping you.
Yeah.
And I guess some employers get worried about, well, is this person, your perpetrator, going to turn up here? What are they going to do? How do we protect the other staff?
Yeah.
And the police involvement as well. There's a lot of moving parts, aren't there?
Yeah, I think that is the thing. It's, you know, it's scary for anybody that's involved in a situation like this. Absolutely. And you do have to think about other members of the team and how it's impacting them. Will that trigger something in some of them if they've been through something before? So it is, yeah, it's a challenging situation. Absolutely. My employer at the time, like I say, did do some really good things at the start, but then moving forwards, they could have handled things differently. And that's no disrespect to them. No. It was the fact they didn't have the education. And that's why I campaign, because then people will hopefully realise what can be done at the start. And following on, it might not even end for somebody for years, or it may never end. It may always be a traumatic experience for them to live through. But yeah, it has an impact, and it can impact everyone else. So you need to try and keep it away from as many people as you can, whilst making sure that the victim is supported as much as possible.
In some ways, that conversation is a bit like the menopause situation. You know, the preparation for it is book the right space to have the conversation. Make sure you've allowed enough time.
Absolutely.
You know, this might be a short conversation. It might be 2 hours, a jug of water and a box of tissues. You know, it could be a much longer conversation. That person, you don't want to do it in an open plan setting. And maybe that person doesn't want to be seen actually talking to their manager about it.
Yeah.
You know, really think about the space, the time. And as a manager, taking a deep breath so that you're not going to say something that's going to trigger the person.
Yeah. And I think also as a manager, you know, if someone does come out and say this, it can actually be quite hard for a manager to have to deal with. And the manager needs to realise that they don't have to save this person. They need to signpost. But if it has triggered something in them, or they're really struggling with it, then they need to then go and speak to someone else in the business and say, I've just heard this. This obviously confidentially, you've got to keep a confidential side of things. But I feel like I need a chat with somebody now. And it's almost like where everyone comes together to support this person. It's like a knock-on effect. But when we support each other, we make a difference. Absolutely.
I love that. When we support each other, we make a difference, and it's everybody's business.
Yes, I agree.
So join us after the break when we'll be talking about what it is that employers can do, and perhaps something for women who are going through this experience, some encouragement or some tips for them too. We'll see you after the break.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the last section of Hot Women Rock Radio, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. I hope you're feeling more empowered now to have this conversation. So Sharon, let's take a deep breath and go back to what is it that a woman in this situation can do? What's your best tip for a woman who's experiencing some of this?
Absolutely. I think every situation is different, and that's one thing I really want to emphasize. But it's get support, and it can be so tough to get the support that you need, especially if your perpetrator is around all of the time. But there are, I'm sure, obviously in the UK, there's a lot of safe spaces that have been created in Boots, for example, in the pharmacies, where you can say certain words to be able to get support that is confidential. But ultimately, in the workplace, if you are in the workplace, speak to the people you work with and ask them and tell them what you're going through, because the biggest thing is to remember it's not your fault. And I know I really struggled with that. I think that was one of the hardest things, was actually saying this is what's happening to me, because I was ashamed that it had happened to me. But it's not, there's no reason to be ashamed. So be as strong as you can. It's not easy. Absolutely, it's not easy. But get that support, speak to people, and start those conversations in a safe space. But do make sure, if you are doing that, that you don't take anything home with you that your perpetrator may find, because then that could potentially cause a really disastrous situation. So I know victims are the best people at keeping themselves safe. And they will tell you that. So they know what they need to do. But absolutely, start looking for that support where you can.
And more complicated if there are children involved as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the thing. If children are involved, it's not as easy as just taking yourself out of a situation. So again, this is where you need to make sure that you've got the right systems in place to be able to keep yourself and your children safe when you get out of a situation. But there are people there to help, and that's what I want to emphasize. There are charities, there are people that are ready and waiting to help people that are in this situation, because nobody should have to live through that fear of being in their own home and not feeling safe. It's just not acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. And your one tip for organisations, what are you telling them today?
Okay, so my one tip is to have a policy, because the policy leads to so much more. So I've created a policy, which is called Sharon's Policy. It can be found on our Cameo recruitment website, under the domestic abuse tab that we have. And it's a policy that I created along with the Employers Initiative on Domestic Abuse, the DA Alliance, and HR Dept, who are HR consultants across the UK. And it has also been legally checked by a company called Hogan Lovells, and they're global. So it's basically a template policy that businesses can take. The legal jargon is on two pages, shall we say, which goes into your policy book, but there's also pages of guidance notes. And in those guidance notes, we're not saying you have to implement everything, but each business needs to look through and see what they can achieve and what they can do. There's things, Pat, that businesses can do that don't cost money. So if a perpetrator is on someone's next of kin, take them off. That doesn't cost money. If they've got a mobile phone free work and they're being harassed when they've left the perpetrator, get them a new one. It costs minimal amounts of money. I know in the, well, globally, to be fair, there are companies that give annual leave for paid annual leave for when people need to get out of these situations. Now, not every business can do that, but can you offer flexibility? Can you give that person some flexibility to be able to get their life back on track? So there's so many different things, but I do appreciate a small business isn't going to be able to do the same as a large business, for example.
Yeah, so it's what's appropriate for your business. I think even just having some resources for who somebody, you know, those signposts.
Absolutely.
A whole list of resources where somebody can go, you know, even if it's like signposting them to the Samaritans because, you know, they're feeling so low about what's happening to them.
Yeah.
Putting that on your website, on your intranet, or having a handout that you can give to somebody, or even having them like publicly available so that somebody can pick one up without having to talk to you.
Absolutely. I mean, if you see in a lot of places, they have inside toilets, for example, on the back of the toilet door, they have information for things like that. So in the workplace, why can't we have that in the workplace? Because you're right, not everybody wants to speak to someone in the workplace, but maybe that's the only place they can get access to the phone number that they need to call somebody. So there are so many different things that can be done, but it's that starting point. But it takes someone in the business to say, we need to talk about this. What can we do? And it will not just change lives, it will save lives too. Statistically, there is so many people, unfortunately, that impacted by it at some point in their life. So most businesses will have somebody, I'm sure, that have been impacted by it.
Yeah. Let's end on a bright note, Sharon. You're happy, you're well, you're in a healthy relationship.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. It's not an easy subject to talk about, and it can make people feel quite upset at times. So if anyone is listening to this and you are feeling that way, be kind to yourself. Get yourself a cupcake and, you know, have a drink and just digest what you've listened to, because it might trigger some people. I totally understand that. But for me, I have let domestic abuse define me, but in the right way. I wouldn't have set up my business because I wouldn't have had that drive potentially to be able to. I needed the platform to be able to do what I do. I have an amazing partner. I have a lovely family, lots of friends. So my life is great. It hasn't been easy. There are times when I have a wobble every now and then. But ultimately, when I know I'm changing lives and saving lives, then I'm fortunate that I have a voice, and I will continue to use it all the time. But it's great to be able to speak to on shows like this and speak to yourself, because it is that raising awareness, so it becomes more normal to speak about it, and then that's when other people will hopefully open up a bit more as well.
And if I'd met you before you went through this experience and met you now, what would be different? How have you changed because of it?
Okay, so I'm pretty much the same person. I think I've become more confident in speaking because I know I have to do things like this to raise awareness. Whereas before, I was, as much as I'm good speaking to people one-to-one, I used to get a bit of, you know, fear of speaking on to a larger audience, shall we say. So that has been one of the biggest changes. But I think just my motivations now are very different for me. And I've made it my mission to raise awareness, and my team helped me do it. So I'm really fortunate to have a team that believe in what I do, to be able to do what we do on a weekly basis, shall we say.
Yeah, fantastic, Sharon. So if you would like to pick up a copy of that policy, I will be posting it underneath the recording. But you can see more about Sharon at Cameo, that's K-A-M-E-O.
Yeah, I'll move to the side if anyone's watching.
recruitment.com, and for that, and there is a button on it for domestic abuse. So thank you for everything you've shared. It's so important. Who knows, we may have saved or changed a life today, and you could do that in your business. And I just want to say that at menopause, many women are going through different experiences in relationships. You might be in a long-term relationship. You might be quite happily not in a relationship. You might be looking for a new relationship. And it's about staying in that good place and not taking risks. If you're going out to find a new partner, that you keep yourself safe while you're doing it. That, you know, you set up that phone call to a friend who calls you after 5 minutes and you can pretend to say, oh, I've just had an emergency call. I need to leave. Or everything's going fine. Or it might be that, you know, if you're meeting somebody new, you meet them in a communal space so you're not on your own, and that you've made your own travel arrangements so that you're not reliant on them to give you a lift home. It's about staying safe. I write about that even, you know, in Hot Women Call Solutions. I'm going to move to one side, Hot Women Call Solutions. I write about relationships in there because this can be a stage of life where your relationships are changing. And yeah, you want to enjoy it and keep yourself safe. So yes, that is my message for today. Get your copy of Hot Women Call Solutions and it will tell you all about relationships. We're coming towards the end of the show. Stay tuned to talkradio.myc because the next show is the Reverend Dr. TLC talking about dismantle racism, and it's part two of I Too Sing America. And those are always really powerful conversations. Join me again next week when we will be talking about nutrition. If you've missed any of the earlier shows, go back to talkradio.myc and have a look at the recordings. We've talked about some great subjects and, yeah, excellent speakers in the past and coming up in the future. Thank you to my producer today, Emily. Thank you again to my guest, Sharon. Thank you for this amazingly powerful conversation. Look forward to seeing everybody next week. Take care now.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.